yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's always the same. We can build our lives on him. Today, let's return to your word. Let it, as you promised, bring light and life. Let it bring liberty. Let it bring challenge in all the right ways, Father. We yield our lives to you. We welcome again the presence of Holy Spirit, yeah? Our instructor, the one who leads us into all truth. The one that you've promised has been given that we might know the things freely given to us by our marvelous God. Today, God, we get the chance to say once again, thank you. We know what your will is. We were reminded the other week, in all things, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. All of these things, Lord, we yield our lives to Jesus. Amen. Amen, guys. I want to look at a couple of pictures today. If any of you are farmers, know more about this stuff than I will. I'm talking about seeds in different form today. And here's the first analogy or image, if you like, found in John 12. This is Jesus speaking. This was just before his cross. This is verse 23. The hour has come. Some of you need to hear that in your lives. You know, the hour comes. God's grace and goodness towards you is not always tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. It's not always tomorrow. The time has come that the Son of Man may be glorified. And most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat, you've all seen a grain of wheat, nice bread from it, falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The one who loves his life will lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. So Jesus presented this picture. And I think this is the heart of Christianity. And I'll paint it in two ways. Do you know that your life, the gift of God for every human, is given to you in seed form? You are a seed. And you have a choice in your life. Every human on the planet who's ever lived has a choice. What am I going to do with the seed of, we're arrogant enough to call it my life, even though God made us. What am I going to do with my life? When I was young, I went through lots of ideas of what my life could look like. And we have a choice. We can keep the whole of our life about that little grain and make everything I do, every decision I make, every thought I have about what's best for my seed, my life. And we can spend our whole life pampering the seed. We can become multimillionaires and live in luxury. We spend all our time nourishing this. And yet that's a futile thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the point of a seed? It's to grow, isn't it? It's to be planted and grow. So we can spend our lives in futility. It's never the will of God. The pattern here, Jesus says, this is how life works. You're a seed. Unless that seed is planted into me, unless you let go of the seed of your life, it's called submitting to his lordship.
Amen.
Unless you are planted into the living God, you haven't even begun with anything. You can call yourself a Christian. You can know the Bible full. But the deal is, in your heart, have you given your life to him? Have you let it be planted into him? It's real. This is the basis of life. Planted and falling into the ground and dying. It doesn't mean ceasing to exist. When you plant a seed, it doesn't die in one way, but it dies in another way. It dies to the life that it used to have. It dies to the singleness of life, a self-centered life. And it's saying, I'm ready for a change of form. And within every seed, there's a tiny little plant. And the tiny little plant only has a chance to grow when it's planted into Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. There is no other source.
Mm-hmm.
People go from place to place, thing to thing, trying relationships, everything, trying to find a source of life. There's one source. I could say that from 55 years of experience, not that long. There's one source that brings life. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You'll not find another. I tried to find a lot. I'm not on a search anymore. Why would I search for what I've already found?
Yeah.
Let's remember what we found, friends. It's life in all its fullness. So life with God begins when you, in a very real way, you yield to him. You make him your Lord. And let me present another picture now about seeds, because everything God does in this life is based on seed form also. So we look at a few passages today. Mark 4, super famous parable. While we're turning to it, it's the parable of the sower. Can anyone shout out? Steve's been doing this so well recently, making it interactive. Can anyone shout out the type? There were four types of soil in which the seed, and what we start from the beginning, every type of...
Bad soil.
Say it again?
Bad soil.
Bad soil, okay. How would you describe it? It needs to be more clear than that. Bad soil. Only one out of the four seeds planted actually grew and produced grain.
Stony
ground, rocky ground, brilliant.
Hard, dry ground.
Hard or dry ground, like by the road is the description.
Thorny.
These are the ones that, although the seed was the same for every single ground, Jesus Christ, when he sows his word into your life and mine, it comes in perfection. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God. It's what we allow that seed to do in our life. That's the issue. What was the best? What was the last kind? Good soil. Yeah. Should we look at a couple of... So that's the parable, if you haven't read it before. It's a picture of seed being sown in various different settings. The seed in this parable, and from now on, is the word of God.
Yeah.
It's God's way of dealing with us. He sends his word. His word accomplished. Remember at the very beginning? Genesis 1? God said, didn't he? His word created everything you see and hear today. And it's interesting that when God's word was spoken, the Holy Spirit before that was brooding, waiting for a job. We need to learn from that, friends.
Yeah.
He works with the word of God. So let's look at the interpretation of this. And this parable is really, really important because it describes first and foremost your initial steps towards Jesus Christ. It talks about salvation, but actually it talks about, it's an everyday parable because God continues to sow seed into your life.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Amen.
Of course
Amen.
You do. Yeah. His word, whether it comes from this book, you hear someone speak, somebody gives you a call, you read something. There's any number of ways that God can speak. But when his word comes every time, there's a fresh opportunity of how we welcome that word and what we do with it.
Yes.
So here's the four. The first type was where the ground was pressed down, stamped down. Lots of people's lives are stamped down. They are, aren't they? It's not your fault. Your life got trampled and baked by the sun, and it's hard, and it's difficult for anything to penetrate and go in. And that's the type of ground where the seed can't really penetrate, and a bird comes and gets a bite of it and takes it away before it can do everything else. These are the ones by the wayside, says Jesus, where the word is sown. And notice there are no soils on the planet where the word is not being sown.
Correct.
God is speaking into the lives of everyone he possibly can. The same way, the same good word. Did you know that God is, he really has no favorites?
Correct.
This is more important than you realize.
Mm-hmm.
Your neighbor is not more precious to God than you are. You're not more precious to God than the person you see by the side of the road. It's important. God deals with humanity in an equal way, in a fair way, in an equitable way. He will not do something for one person that he refuses to do for another.
Yeah.
That's the God I worship and I'm coming to know. Otherwise, he wouldn't be good, would he?
Yeah.
Let's keep reading. The word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Have you ever brought a message to someone you know was for them?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of bounced off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Well, don't stop bringing those words, because the word keeps breaking. Some people in their lives, it needs to be broken. There's no opportunity for them to hear until the ground is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand, you meet people in all walks of life. You and I are in all different positions. What we need to be aware of is that, and Jesus said it this way, trouble comes because of the word. Persecution comes because of the word. Have you noticed that when God speaks something fresh to you, maybe a new direction, you see something, you get a revelation. The Bible describes Paul as getting beaten by this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of the devil, because of all these revelations. The enemy hates revelation.
Correct.
He hates it when you begin to understand the word.
Yeah.
Why? Because the word tells us that he's defeated.
Amen.
As we heard, the word tells us there's no mountain that can stand against God and you.
Amen.
That's what the word tells us. But God always leads us in victory. We can see victory in him.
Yes.
Every day of our lives. And your enemy really wants you to doubt that. And he wants to get those messages of grace out of your heart.
Mm.
Why? Because they make you unstoppable.
Yes.
Did you hear me? And we need to be aware when words come into our life, we must guard them.
Mm-hmm.
Write them down. Mm-hmm. Nourish them. Believe them. Dare to believe them. Like even when Elizabeth and Mary, just before the birth of Jesus, we need to be prepared to believe the impossible.
Yes.
That's the whole point of the Word of God, isn't it? God's word produces the impossible on the earth. Nothing else will. None of us have any supernatural power. It's when we work with the word, when we mix his word with faith, when we say, as Mary did, let it be to me according to your word.
Yeah.
That should be the basis of our life. Let it be in my life, as you've said. That's faith, isn't it?
Yes.
Second type. The ones on stony ground who, when they hear the word, receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. They endure for a time, and afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, immediately they stumble. So this is a type of heart that has too little soil. It has some soil, enough to let this promise or grace or life grow. This is what I was like when God saved me. My life was rocky. I had a little patch of soil. I managed 6 months of joy in the Lord, and then I fell away. But the good thing is, soil can be changed. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Soil, with the grace of God, changes. My heart changes. My heart is not the same as it was when I walked away from God all those years ago. It's not the same. My heart has less stone in it. Why? Because walking with him, he takes from us the heart of stone,
yeah,
and lets it become soft and malleable and God-loving. It's so amazing. It's really important that in our lives we don't just start well when we have a word from God. Starting new things is often involving great joy. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. When we first planted a church here 20 years ago, there was great joy in that. The joy didn't last. Not because... It's just life doesn't always go easy, does it?
Correct.
And it's like in life, as Mel was saying, we need to dig in. We need to be able to dig in. And there's something called resilience. It's having space in our lives to let God finish what he started.
Yeah.
This is our role, friends. We need to let God finish what he started.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to contribute a lot. We just need to keep going with him. I'll show you another parable in a minute that illustrates that. And then that's the second kind, stony ground. And we need to realize in our lives every word of God must be fought for.
Yes.
It must be stood on. Regardless of whether you see anything coming from it, you stand on that word. And because God said it, it's true.
Amen.
And every promise, I've come to realize, every promise God ever made represents his will for your life. That's liberating, isn't it? We often read a promise, you think, yeah, but does God really want that for my life? Well, why would he promise it if he doesn't want to do it? Duh. And it talks about the third kind. The ones sown among thorns, sometimes it says thistles. They're the ones who hear the word. So all of them heard the word. But the cares of this world, anxiety is what it's saying. That's a big one, isn't it? The deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things entering and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So this is the moments where we have space in our lives for God. He's growing, his life is growing in us. But somehow there's a lot of other crap growing around it. Yeah? And when you have that going on in your life, it's really important to realize these things kind of hinder the growth of this significant, most important seed. Anxiety. All of these things are the realities. We all experience them. Pressures, the desires for other things. We need to have in our lives a kind of single-mindedness. And it doesn't mean we're always perfectly wavelengthed with God. But like, if we dug down to the deepest possible level, we'll see that our lives are committed to Jesus Christ. And when and if that's tested, we'll discover, yeah, that commitment is there. So it's what we do with these other things. It's not that these other things are sinful. We need to understand the reason for them. That the problem is that it stops God's will being done in our lives fully. The question is, do we want to see God's will finished in our lives? Do we want to be like David, who's a man who fulfilled God's will for his life? I know we do. That's why you're here on Sunday morning. Please, I can see lots of you getting heavy at this point. Stop. Today is about the word. Okay? You just need to learn to host God. I need to learn to host God and let him finish his work in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about when we receive a promise from God. Maybe God gives you a promise about ministry or doing something or stepping out somewhere. We need to keep that promise strong in our hearts rather than getting distracted by some other things of life, which can be good, but enemies are best. And we hear the last one, the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, they all heard it, accept it, literally, receive it. Mm-hmm. Receive it. And bear fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. The important thing in all of our lives is that we are there for the long run.
Amen.
We keep walking with God. And we need to understand his promises, particularly promises about a life work or a ministry or a mission. Something you've seen from God, some people call it your bundle of responsibility. That there are other promises that are instantaneous. But some of the promises in God are going to take time. And Jesus said it straight away. You want to see the next bit down to verse 26? The kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground. So everything in the life and the kingdom of God is about sowing seed. And he sleeps by night and rises by day. The seed sprouts and grows. He himself doesn't know how. How do you and I grow in God? If we're teachers and disciples and shepherds, we could give you a list of 19 things you need to do to grow in God. No, we need to host the life of God. We need to let him be God in our lives. And all of these other things are working towards that. And then he says, for the earth, say the earth.
The earth.
Or earth. Is that good Scottish? The earth yields crops by itself.
Yes.
So again, it's the same sort of image. The word's planted in me and I'm planted in the word. It's my life remaining. So Jesus called it abiding. Living your life in him. Just keeping that connection. Keeping that link alive. Yeah. And everything we do around us is to preserve that precious life with Jesus. And I'm not a legalistic person. I don't think about what I should or shouldn't be doing. I'm trying in my heart to maintain the link with God.
Yeah.
That's an easier way to live, isn't it? Than trying not to do a host of things. The earth yields crops by itself. And then he paints a picture. First, the little blade. And if you've sown a field of wheat and you see a little blade Are you going to get out as a farmer? You're going to start beating that. Come on, where's my seed? Are you?
No.
Of course you're not. First the little blade thing, then the head, then the full grain, and then the grain ripens. So I encourage you, friends, stick with the process of God. Amen. Every promise he makes in this life will have a growth behind it. Right? So it's not going to happen in 5 minutes necessarily. And you shouldn't be discouraged by that. Lots of you are growing more than you can possibly imagine. And you're thinking, oh, it's never going to happen. Nonsense. You stayed with God. You stayed planted in him. He takes responsibility for bearing. You bear fruit because of the work of God. But you bear it. He doesn't. It's got to come from you. This is the teamwork. Holy Spirit can't bear physical fruit. But in my life, we team up. And the fruit is produced through me because of him. We're going to understand the partnership God has with us. Should we look at that? So we need to host the grain. You guys all right? Got a few more minutes? Let's head into James 1. There's a couple more. They're all the same parable, all the same picture. James 1. And James is a very interesting little book here, which if you're a new Christian, I believe James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church, wrote this for new believers. This is a very simple handbook. There's very little doctrine. It tells you what to do in lots of life's challenges. Yeah. So go read that. Go read that. Let's have a look at this. So it's James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. There's a word planted in your heart. Amen. Jesus Christ planted it. It's the seed of himself. When you grow up, you're supposed to, and you will, look just like him. Right? That's the seed. Whatever you plant, the type of seed is going to grow. You are a Jesus seed. And when you get big, people will see Jesus in all of us. Receive with meekness or humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The problem we have is the out of it. The seed's great, but it's the seed and our response to it that really determines whether it's allowed to grow. And here he puts a very interesting idea. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And I, looking back, I've been guilty of this. God's given me words, I've seen things, and I've made them a wonderful doctrine, which I'm so excited about, and I love telling other people about. But the question is not, did you hear it?
Yeah.
The question is, did you do something with that word?
That's right.
Because otherwise it's theory. And I think the church is riddled with it. Because we hear all these wonderful doctrines from these great speakers and books. And we could tell you all kinds of brilliant doctrine. Logically, we've studied it all. The question is, have we become it? And that's a really major question. And he explains it again. He says a bit later in the same chapter, faith without works is dead. It actually isn't faith at all. It's something else. So he goes on to say, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he's like someone observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what person he was. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Don't let this book bind you up. Yeah. Did you hear me? It's not a book that restricts. And if it's preached in a way that restricts your life, then don't take it on board. It's a perfect law of liberty. And continues in it. That's important, isn't it? And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So this, the crux of this really, it's saying the word that comes into your life, you must build into your experiences and your actions. And the word that comes, and I think the main word God sends, is that we looked at the image before of a mirror. It's the image of the new creation. Who have you become now that God's seed is planted in your life? Stop looking at yourself from the outside, and it's beginning to walk, not just to believe and explain, but live life as a new creation,
Amen.
As a manifestation of God on the earth. I believe that. So we need to act on the word. Last point for today, Isaiah 55. This is another very well-known verse. And again, everything God does in our lives is by sending forth his word, by speaking into our lives. And what we do with that word is, that's Christianity. It's foundational. Isaiah 55 is all good, but we just read the verse 6 downwards. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's an encouragement for people who are seeking the Lord, who don't feel whether they know him or a relationship with him. He's near. Brilliant news.
Yeah.
God's near to you no matter your condition
Amen.
Today.
That's right.
There'll be a moment when he'll be no longer near at the end of this age. That'll be the moment past. But during this age, he's near to all. His spirit is working. He desires all humanity to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the Lord. He's not judging any demographic groups or any particular parts of our culture. He's not. His followers may be. Jesus Christ's day of judgment will come. It's not today. Today's the day of grace. Today's the day of mercy. It is. And we do well to remember that. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let them return to the Lord and have mercy on him, and our God will abundantly pardon. Mm. Psalms are open, man. All we do is, and we saw that before, it's really the beginning image of planting my life into the Lord is described here. It's me forsaking my way and my thoughts and saying, well, I'm done with that. I remember when I made that decision, I was so sick of my own thoughts and sick of my own ways. So tired of it. I said, God, take my life because I'm sick of it. I don't want it. You can have it. And that was the truth. And then God paints this picture. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And that's the challenge of the age. We all have human ways that we've learned and we barely even question. And yet God is saying, those things didn't come from me. Those things are a result of a fallen life that you were born into. Time to let them go. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And here we dare to question God when he gives us promises.
Yeah.
And we dare to, like Job, what did you do? And then Job has a revelation of God, and he says, oh, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. And here's the picture. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes. Anyone who says God's word is finished with the Bible, this is present tense. God's word is never full. His Bible is full. But he's speaking today in line with that word. My word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So what does that mean? What do I have to do with God's word according to this little passage here? We saw we had to receive it. We saw we had to dare to step out upon a promise.
Mm.
What other principle is held in these verses?
Apply it.
Okay, apply it. It says something slightly different. What's the description used? My word will not return to me.
Avoid.
It's the return to me bit. How do you return God's word to him? Return to sender? How do you return God's word to him?
Speak it.
Well, it's right, isn't it? It's saying, Thank you, Lord, for your promise.
Yeah.
It's daring to declare the thing God has said. This is another principle. You need to speak out the word that's in your heart. Otherwise, it will remain dormant. You need to speak out the things God has promised and make them your confession. That's a message for another time. But here we see just glimpses of how God wants us to live with his word. And it finishes. Listen to this. Let us wash over you. For you shall go out with
joy.
And be led out with
peace.
These are all things of being returning God's word to him and letting his life grow in you. Do you know that joy and peace are nothing to do with you? They don't come from you. They come from him. It's his stuff. Christianity is saying, thank you, God, for your stuff in my life, both now and forever.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The mountains and the hills, we've heard it before, will break forth into singing before you. Why? Because they've given way. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands as kind of an applause. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. All of you guys, applause of God. And here's the same picture. Instead of the thorn, any thorns here? Any thorn bushes here? You see, before Christ, probably, if any of you were really jaggy with the people around you, probably. But instead of the thorn will be the cypress tree. Can you see a transformation? This is what the word of God will do. It will make you someone unlike the person you used to be. And that's why I'm not always happy with the psychology of personality types. Because God is not limited with who you used to be. Doesn't he say you're a new creation?
Amen.
So don't let people talk you into accepting stuff. God wants to make you something that is a sign. And he's talking about here, thorn, instead of something that's jaggy, now it's a cypress tree.
Yes.
Probably Hugh could tell us all the details of these. Instead of the briar, what's a briar? It's like a bramble, isn't it? You ever been a bramble for the lives of others? Hindering them, causing them little wounds. Lots of us start life as briars. We do. It will be the myrtle tree. Again, that's a tree that's known for softness and beauty.
Yeah.
Why? Why does God want to change your life? It'll be to the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign.
Yes.
That will not be cut off. Christianity is being, my friends. It's letting God grow you up into the image of Jesus. He says that's your destiny. And it's mine. Amen. Today, Lord, as we look upon your work amongst us, God, we're so grateful that us being in this room, us being followers of Jesus, was your idea. It's of you. We are in Christ Jesus. We're planted in him. And you've become for us, Lord, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification. You've become the change in our lives, redemption from darkness. You've become our protector and our deliverer. And Lord, today I thank you for the seed sown in this room. Thank you for the seed of promise in the name of Jesus. Today we water that seed, declare over you the thing you're promising, the thing you've been reaching for, the thing God has promised, he is ready to fulfill. Thank you, Lord, that truly you are faithful to your word. Lord, thank you for the precious word of God that it's producing in these lives. And it's growing. And the life of God in us is getting bigger and bigger and more unstoppable with every day we walk with you. I don't know everybody here. I'm going to give you a chance just now. Maybe this is your day. This is your moment to say, Jesus, I'm being planted into you today. Here's the seed that I used to represent and I do represent. I'm ready to plant that into you and give you my life. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I don't want you to pray this one out loud, particularly if you've already given your life to him, because it doesn't make sense to do it again. But if this is for you just in your heart, all you need to say is an inner yes. It's not words, it's nothing like that. So I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. You make it yours. Lord God, today in my heart, I recognize I've lived life for myself. And today I choose to say, have this life, Lord. Take my life as it is. The mess it's been, the things I've done, the things being done to me. Take it, Lord, and make it your own. I give my life to you, to the Lordship of the Christ. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Come and live in my heart and reveal yourself through me. I confess before you every sin, every mistake. I leave it behind. And I receive from you today forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you prayed that prayer from your heart, please talk to me before you leave this room or talk to somebody else in the room and we'll pray with you.